Today is Gaudete Sunday, or Rejoice Sunday. In one sense, with all the festive atmosphere around us at this time of year, being joyful today makes a lot of sense. But part of me struggles to rejoice today because the fact is the world is becoming a crazy place to live in. And there are troubles all around us. Now, I won't go into the long list of all that. I probably talk about it too much, but we try to ignore it. But the reality is that in this world, there's a lot of evil. And far from causing us to rejoice, it causes us a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. The outward festivities of this time of year help to sort of lift or mitigate all that a bit, and that's a good thing. But the problem is that's only temporary. It only goes so far. The Christmas trees and the lights and the presents are wonderful, and all the warm feelings and memories are beautiful, but in the end they just ease the pain for a little while. Well, underneath, the fears and the anxieties are still there, and in a few weeks when the seasons pass, we'll see the troubles there very clearly again. And again, as strange as it may seem, all this is actually what Gaudete Sunday is really all about. And really, that's what Advent is all about. It's about the permanent solution, the total solution to all of our problems. About the eradication of evil and pain, about replacing anxiety with peace and fear with joy. Not just on the surface, but in the depth of our hearts. And not just for a few days or weeks, but forever, both on earth and in heaven. Now, our faith teaches us that there will be no real abiding justice in this world, because man continues to perpetrate injustices against man. And yet man continues to think that man and man-made things and man-centered ideologies are the solution to the problem. But man is not the solution. He's part of the problem. In fact, but he can be part of the solution, but only when he, that is we, admit our role in contributing to the evil in the world. Scripture reminds us that in the beginning, tempted by the devil and accepting his lies, Adam and Eve chose to put themselves first above God. The mere creature rejected what the Creator had created, his understanding and plan and design of everything that he had done. And man tried to make himself, not God, the center of all things. Now, of course, man failed, but in doing that, he brought evil into creation, both moral evil, the moral evil of sin, and the physical evil of sickness and death. Man rejected God's loving and perfectly ordered design of everything and replaced it with the devil's hateful confusion. But God loved man so much that he would not let it stay that way. So he promised, again, right at the beginning, that he would send a Savior, born of a woman, who would crush the devil and all his offspring and save mankind from himself. My friends, that is what Advent is all about. Sometimes people get a little annoyed with me because I fret a little too much about the way our culture turns Advent into an early celebration of Christmas. You know, Christmas begins on the 25th of December, and then it goes for 3 weeks for us, but for the rest of the world, it seems to end there, right on the 25th. And the way, I guess, you know, I talk a lot about the commercialization of Christmas as well, the secularization. But never get me wrong on this. There's nothing wrong with enjoying all the nice things that we do during this time of year. You know, Santa's great, Christmas trees, lights and all that, they have their very special place in our culture. The thing is, it's just not enough. and that it tends to the superficial and tends to ignore what endures. And that's not what Advent is all about. Advent is about really thinking through, contemplating the real meaning of Christmas, so you can celebrate Christmas for what it really is when it finally comes. Advent means asking, why did God become a little baby? And what difference did it make that he became a little baby? Advent means remembering that that baby grew up and taught us many wonderful things, many hard things, but wonderful still. And he grew up to die on the cross for our sins. Advent means remembering that sin is in the world and man is not the solution, but part of that sin, unless and until he accepts the fact that Jesus Christ is the only solution, the wonderful and joyful news that Christ came and did crush the serpent's head, he has conquered evil and brought his kingdom of justice, love, and peace into the world. Now, of course, some say, well, Father, if Christ crushed evil and brought his kingdom of peace in the world, why do we have all these troubles today? Very simple. Because most people do not accept Christ and do not join him in his battle against evil. We all too often want to fight evil on our own terms, with our own solutions. And many times we simply want to ignore it altogether, if not jump right in there and join the crowd. And part of this is ignoring the importance of something like Advent. Advent is a season of expectant joy, not a season to pretend that all is well. Advent is a season of hope in Jesus Christ, but not simply dulling the pain with hot butter rum punch or spiked eggnog. It's a season of not of ignoring evil, but of recognizing it, not so that we could be dejected by it and become afraid, but so that we can truly rejoice in the fact that Jesus has overcome it. To rejoice in the fact that things can be the way they should be. There can be peace on earth and goodwill among men. You and I can be the truly good persons that we want to be. The good fathers, the good mothers, the good sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and friends. The good priests that we really all long to be. Because Advent is the season of mentally, spiritually, and morally wrapping our minds and hearts around the fact that God the Son came into the world 2,000 years ago, and entered right into the middle of our anxiety, fear, and despair-filled lives to change them. And it is a season of recognizing that all too often, in effect, we reject his coming and do not let him transform our lives. So Advent is a time when we should be like the crowds in today's gospel, asking John the Baptist, what should we do? And a time to listen and take to heart what John responds. The crowd says, what should we do? And he says, whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. He calls us to be kind, charitable, patient, to be generous, especially to those in need. Most especially, he calls us to be like Jesus, who gave himself to us on Christmas. And so he calls us to be generous in giving of ourselves. So many of us focus on ourselves, but John says focus on others and begin by focusing on Jesus, placing him at the center of everything. And then focusing on Jesus, you will always wind up focusing on the good of your neighbor. And the tax collectors ask him, what should we do? And he says to them, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. There is so much greed in this world and dishonesty and lying. And we all get caught up in it. Both the rich and the poor, the middle class, all of us. Especially, amazingly enough, at this time of year, when we should be doing the exact opposite. And then the soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion." Or we might say, stop taking advantage of people when they're vulnerable. He says, do not falsely accuse anyone. How easily we blame others for our faults and sins, especially those we love. He says, and be satisfied with your wages. Envy or jealousy eats away at so many people, especially in America, and especially in Northern Virginia, and especially, amazingly enough, again, at this time of year. John's preaching stops there, but if you read on to the very next verses in the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us that John the Baptist also told King Herod to stop committing adultery with his brother's wife. Today our society has practically elevated adultery and sexual depravity to an Olympic sport. Advent must be a time of renewed chastity and purity as well. All around us we see signs of good cheer, the good cheer of the holiday season, as they say. But we don't have to look too hard to see that the evil remains. But during Advent, we see this evil and know its cause and know that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to save it. To save us, if only we would accept His coming. And so in the middle of all the troubles that surround us, today's teaching from the prophet Isaiah still rings true. On that day, he says, it shall be said, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He says, on that day is Christmas Day. That day our mighty Savior came into our midst and crushed the serpent's head. So that today, on this, the third Sunday of Advent, Isaiah insists, shout for joy, O daughter Zion, sing joyfully, O Israel. And St. Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Have no anxiety at all. The Lord is near. As we continue with our Advent season, let us do so filled with joyful expectation that evil in the world, in our hearts, cannot triumph against the power and love of our Savior. So let us repent and rejoice, for the Lord has come. Our Savior is in our midst, and He can and will transform us and the whole world if we let Him. This is the meaning of Christmas, and it is what we must contemplate and act upon in this holy season of Advent. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. Praise be Jesus Christ.